last few nights have just camped out in our backyard just to soak it up as much as we could. So we set up the tent and built a campfire, grilled a little bit outside, but just I love sleeping out in that fresh air and waking up to it. You know, it's cold this morning, though. I had to get up earlier than everybody else to come in and just read over my sermon a little bit. And that walk from the tent to the house was really, really cold. But at the same time, it's just full on glory. In fact, the other morning, I took the kids outside and I just said, like, raise your arms out, just breathe in deeply. And the glory of the air, the crispness, the breeze, the sunlight, the blue skies, all of it is just, there's a wonderful thing about fall in it. It's those times that helps us just really stop and appreciate things about our Creator that we might not if we're busy or just have our heads down and all those things. So we're thankful for beautiful weather like this to help us appreciate Him in other ways. Let's pray together before we begin. Father, thank you for your kindness and your love and your rich grace towards us. Thank you for the beauty of this time of year, the crisp, cool air of fall and the beauty and glory of the sunlight and when it's in this angle in the sky and so many things as we anticipate the leaves changing colors and the fields are browning and there's just so much beauty and glory. And it helps us to see you and appreciate you. And it's so good to be together this morning as your people, as a family, learning to live as a family, learning to help each other and grow together and encourage each other. Please be with us this morning. And now as we turn to your scriptures, give us all ears to hear and understanding so that we can truly know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you'd like to turn and follow along or simply listen, I want to read a couple passages, one from Mark and one from Matthew. Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing. I'll set the context just a little bit before just diving in. This is the last week of Jesus' life. Just a few days before his death. He's in the temple. His habit was to go into the temple in the morning and teach. And on this occasion, you've got the series of religious leaders that are coming to him and testing him. First, the Pharisees and the Herodians. Second, the Sadducees come, ask a question about resurrection. And now a lawyer comes to him, a scribe, one who's an expert in the law, not a lawyer like we think of today, but someone who just studied the Torah and knew it inside and out and would have been an expert in that law. And so he comes to Jesus testing him. And so that's where we'll pick up here. Mark 12, verse 28. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, recognizing that he'd answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is foremost? What command is foremost of all, or first of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Right, teacher, you've truly stated he is one and there is no one else beside him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered intelligently, he said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. And we'll go ahead and pick up in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, beginning in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him, testing him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. So the expert in the law asked Jesus to identify the greatest and first commandment. The ESV renders this question, which commandment is most important of all? Okay. Jesus replied by quoting Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And we recognize Yahweh is the creator of all things. He is the beauty and the glory of the fall that I just talked about, right? He's the one who created all things with the breath of his mouth, as Psalm 33 talks about. And not only do we see his beauty and his love and his goodness and his wisdom in creation, we see it throughout the story of scriptures, right? You see he is the constant rescuer and redeemer of his people, the constant forgiver and merciful Lord of his people, right? And then certainly what we see in Jesus and what we know in Christ, we see a God that is worthy of nothing less than our whole being, adoration, love, devotion, reverence, everything, right? He's worthy of all. He's the only righteous and rightful king in the world. He alone is worthy of our worship. He alone is worthy of our devotion. And he deserves nothing less than whole life, whole being, love, nothing less than our all. And so Jesus says, this is the great and foremost commandment, the first commandment, the most important commandment. So again, think about the scene and the question, which commandment is most important of all? So Jesus could have stopped there to answer the question, but he didn't. He continued by quoting Leviticus 19:18. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus went on to say, on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. And there is no other commandment greater than these. Right? Notice the expert in the law asked Jesus about the first commandment singular. Jesus replied with the first and second commandment plural. That's not just a matter of trivia. It's a really important, and in the context of Jesus' day and the kind of debates and things they were arguing about, a revolutionary kind of detail, right? Jesus would not promote the first without the second. Jesus would not separate the first from the second. So in other words, you cannot love God without loving others. To miss the second is to miss the first. And, we'll keep going with this, and loving God is the primary, loving others is the primary means by which we manifest our love for God. Right? Yes, we love God in direct acts of worship and faith, through our prayer, through our praise, as we seek him in the scriptures, through trusting him through our suffering in life, giving him glory and thanks and success. All of those are a part of our love for God, right? And we never want to minimize that fundamental and that foundational love for God himself. And relationship with God himself, right? We don't want to get into the place where we make people idols, that really it's people that we're loving and worshiping, right? That's not what we're saying, and not what Jesus is doing, and that's why he'll say first and second, right? But Jesus wants us to understand that the entirety of Scripture, the whole law and the prophets and the writings, and the later writings of Jesus' own followers, the apostles and New Testament prophets, is proclaiming that loving others is the primary means by which we manifest or demonstrate our love for God. We demonstrate our love for God by the way we treat others. We love God by loving others. And then we add to that, in fact, that second point, right? The second command is so much the fulfillment of the first command that it can stand alone as the single command. Okay, and I want to show us this. I want us to see this. Think about the Sermon on the Mount, the good news of the kingdom, right? Jesus opens up the body of that sermon by saying this: "Do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish or to fulfill." Some translations render that destroy. Did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. How does Jesus conclude the body of the sermon and wrap that up? "In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets." Which is another way of saying, love your neighbor as yourself. Notice how that single command in that case stands as a representative of the whole. Okay? Jesus isn't alone in saying that. Let me go ahead and put this up. Jesus isn't alone in saying this. Listen to Paul in Romans 13. "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law." Do you see what Paul's saying, and it just right in step with what Jesus is saying in the greatest about the greatest commands, and particularly about in the Sermon on the Mount? "For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not commit murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. If there's any other commandment, it's summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." In Galatians, Paul wrote more or less the same thing. "For you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in a word, in a statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then to round it out, James simply writes, "If, however, you are fulfilling that royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well." Right? So again, to see all this together, right? You cannot love God without loving others. To miss the second is to miss the first. And loving others is the primary means by which we manifest our love for God. We love God largely by loving others. And the second is so much the fulfillment of the first that it can stand alone as the single representative command. And again, we can see an abuse in that. Jesus would even say, if you don't hate your father and mother, you cannot be my disciple. So he, not in a way that's idolatrous or anything like that, but understand how much we're meant to express our love for God by loving others. I want to say this is everything, right? And we know it's easy to trivialize this, or to reduce this to just a platitude, you know. Love God. Yeah. We get that, right? Love your neighbor. Sure. Yeah, of course. We're familiar with that. He just preached on the Good Samaritan 2 weeks ago, right? We get this. We know this. But this is everything. This is what the entirety of Scripture is all about. That's what Jesus just said. This is the law and the prophets. On these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. We can spend our lifetimes mining the depths of Scripture, seeking to discover the will of God. And when we finally reach the end of that mine, like if we ever were to get at the end of that mine, this is what we'd find. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself." That's what 5 PhDs in the Bible will give you, right? You know what I'm saying? That's not just a small detail. That's it, right? And then what we do is we spend our life growing into that big picture. That's not a reduction. That's not a minimizing. That's a maximizing, right? That we see this is what it's all about, and then we can grow into that. Love God, love others. Hear it again. On these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. There is no other commandment greater than these. Or in Matthew 7, this is the law and the prophets. Romans 13, he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Romans 13, 9, if any other commandment is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13, 10, love is the fulfillment of the law. Galatians 5, 14, the whole law is fulfilled in a word. In a word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If we miss this, we miss everything. If we read through our Bible, like Psalm 1 says, every morning and every night, and we miss this, we've missed everything. Right? We've missed what the Bible's all about. If we live our lives And these commands are not the central focus of what we do and why we do it. We've missed it. Right? We've missed what life's all about. We've missed who God is. We've missed who Christ is, what he's created us to do and be. Here again, Jesus provides the hermeneutic. Right? We like that word sometimes, hermeneutic, for our understanding and application of Scripture. Jesus provides the framework and the focus for our entire lives. Every decision, every question, every response, love God, love others. And let me say, that simplifies things, right? Because we don't need to go through life counting commands. You know, the Jews counted the commands in the Torah and found 613, right? Imagine trying to live balancing 613 commands in, you know, no, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And then, right, every little detail in the law, every little detail in the Scripture, we see it as a part of the whole, and it's so rich and it's so fulfilling and it's so full. So Jesus said, love God, love neighbor. More or less. You see, that's a paraphrase, not a direct quote. Okay. I want to emphasize and firmly establish this point today. Right? And not just as a matter of practice, right? Now that throws you off, right? Because the whole point is that, you know, go out and do something. Yeah, of course. That we would live this, absolutely. But I want to establish this point today first as a matter of heart and mind, as a matter of imagination and worldview, as a matter of hermeneutics, as a matter of conviction. And as we're doing in this Read Jesus series, let's bring this home. For many in our movement, right, baptism and a cappella singing have been the greatest commands. Right? Not explicitly. No one's got up and said, the greatest command is, you shall be baptized and worship the Lord without instruments. Right? Nobody says that. But by emphasis and effect, can we see that in some cases? Can we see that? Be certain, be baptized is not the greatest command. And if that shocks you a little bit, we definitely need to hear this. Be certain, worship me without instruments is not the greatest command. It's not even explicitly said that way in Scripture. Right? Please understand what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. Okay? I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about these things. I'm not saying we shouldn't care about these other things. I'm not saying we shouldn't have convictions about these other things and teach on these other things or any of that stuff. I don't buy into the argument God is only concerned with the big things and the details don't matter. Have you heard people say that before? I don't buy into that at all. Jesus didn't buy into that argument either. We talked about Matthew 23 a few weeks ago. But listen to this again. He said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others also. A couple months ago, whenever we talked about this, emphasized the other side of that. But listen again to the last words of that statement. You should have done these without neglecting the others also. Right? Do you see what Jesus is saying? He's not saying the details don't matter. In fact, if we go back to Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, he says every jot and tittle matters, right? The smallest detail of the law. And if we understand and believe with all our hearts that the Scriptures are from God, that they are God-breathed, anything from the mouth of our holy, loving Father is worthy of our attention, is worthy of our teaching, is worthy of our love, right? So again, Jesus didn't say the details don't matter. Jesus did say that some things are weightier than others, right? Okay? We are meant to understand and apply the Scripture with the right and appropriate order and priority and weight and balance. Okay? And that's what I want to establish, a cement, firmly cement this morning. Jesus gave us the hermeneutical key to rightly understanding and applying Scriptures. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your strength. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. There is no other commandment greater than these. And then once we see the world and scriptures through that right order and through that right lenses and through that right weight, right? Through a firm and unwavering and fully orbed understanding about the whole of scriptures being fulfilled in loving God and loving others, loving neighbor, loving one another, then we'll talk about, for example, rituals like baptism and the Lord's Supper and singing and all those kinds of things in ways that are not just technically correct, right? But in ways that are wise and whole and rich and life-giving. I've said this before, that sort of spirit that I'm responding to and wanting to correct, I don't see that here. If I did, I promise I'd be a lot angrier in the way I just made those last points, right? I would have been really fired up and stuff. But I feel like we can just talk. I'm not extra fiery today with that, because I don't see that. But here's what I understand from my own experience. Sometimes those things, that those emphases that are out of balance have been hit so hard that even when we sort of turn away from that in our own thinking, they can still get dragged along and form the way that we think or approach something, right? We can look at the world through the lens of these commands over here when Jesus is saying, no, step back from the keyhole a second. Look out this giant window I've given you. See the world this way, right? And that's what this lesson's all about, okay? And I hope this lesson can fully and firmly establish the right order and priority and balance and weight for understanding and applying the scriptures so that we can share in the fullness and the richness of life in Him and not settle for anything less, right? God's saying, I've got all this life that I want to share with you. Let's not leave that on the table. Our God is amazing. He's wise and gracious and just and full of love, full of amazing love for us. My desire for all of us here is that we would know Him in all His fullness, that we would share life in Him and flourish in life in Him. Once more, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. There is no other commandment greater than these. Let's pray. Father, I praise you and thank you so much for your grace towards us, for your kindness towards us. You truly are a God gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, relenting of evil, yet will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. And we stand in awe of you and your wisdom and your justice and your righteousness and your mercy and your grace, your love. You are holy. You are worthy of all our adoration and praise and devotion and affection, allegiance. May we love you with everything that we have and everything that we are. Give us your spirit to create that new heart in us, one that's not enslaved to sin and death and the competing loves in this present world, but one that is fully devoted to you. And give us your spirit that we might learn to love our neighbor as ourselves, to put on that simple kindness and concern for others, one that sees others as made in your image and that would love them in the same way that you've loved us. Father, help us all to grow in every way and to come to know you fully and in all your beauty and glory and holiness. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're with us this morning and you are not in Christ, I don't know your circumstances, maybe where your struggles have been, but I know that Christ is worthy of all that we have and all that we are. And so I'd urge you to give your allegiance to him, and we'd love to baptize you for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you're here this morning and struggling in any way, we'd love to help you and encourage you and pray with you and pray for you. If there's anything we can do along those lines, please let us know as well. As we and please come forward to let us know as we stand and as we sing.